This is Will's Band of the Week for April 19th, 2015. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris live in studio.
Hi, it's me, Will.
Why would anybody...
Wait.
No,
damn it. This gets more confusing every time.
Yeah, no. First Will, I said something, and then you say your name, not his name.
Wait, yeah. Who am I? I'm Barrett. No.
No.
I think you're supposed to be Chris.
Should we do this? We should do this again.
Just go by our make it simple. Just go by your real name.
Oh,
yep.
That makes
Sufjan.
Yeah.
So
Sufjan Schneider.
Why would anybody even question whether we would have all of us here live in studio?
Right.
Shouldn't be questioned.
No.
If anyone questioned it, they should be slapped.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So well, here we are. So what are we doing?
Well, we have. This podcast is sponsored by three separate brewing companies in three different states.
I had three beers that all had
Lucy's
pretty labels on them, and I gave these guys a choice. And
this one has a goose on it.
Yeah, and this one has a, what is that thing?
Like some crane.
Some sort of a bird, yeah.
And Chris.
This has got to have a bird on it somewhere to make it the trifecta of bird beers. Maybe not.
Well, there's a lake, like a stream.
Seems like there should be a bird in the Sierra Pale Ale, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
You would think so, but it doesn't have one, no.
Nope.
Well, he disclosed his, so.
This beer is not bird friendly, as yours are.
Chris is sponsored tonight by Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I am sponsored by Central Waters Brewing Company, Hop Rise Session Ale from the great state that we live in.
Right, and I've got a Goose Island Honkers Ale.
Good Chicago beer.
Flagship.
Yep.
Yep.
It's all quality here tonight. So.
You just go to the store and get like the multi-pack?
No, I just happened to have like one each left of a couple of them, and then I, you know, had another one. It just came out that way. It was kind of cool. It's kind of nice.
Do you ever do the mix and match thing?
You know, I sometimes do that, but I never buy like the one company's like multi-pack because I never want the wheat beers and I don't want the porters.
But I mean where you just grab your own little carton and then you pick whichever ones you want.
Yeah, I've done that.
It seems like a good idea, but I never do it.
You know where a good place to do that is? At Brennan's.
Mm.
Yeah, they have these beers from Seattle that you never heard of and they're good.
Well, I hope they're sending us a check now for name checking.
Well,
them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I'm not big on the whole mix and match. When I'm in the mood for one thing, I just get that because I know I'm going to sit down and drink probably 12 of them, as usual.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it would be, I think, a good idea to get all of one certain kind. And then...
Do you mean like a certain category, like all pale ales or something?
Right. And then,
yeah, that's fun.
I think I'll start to drink my beer now. That creaking you heard was the door opening and the dog coming to drink my beer.
Hey,
dog got a haircut.
Sorry, man. Yeah, I did. Kind of. He's been humiliated. Yeah,
not so tough now.
Yeah, not that he was tough before.
No.
Yeah,
his junk is a lot more prominent now with his haircut.
Yeah, what? That's true.
What? All right. I mean, I guess I didn't notice. Maybe that's the first thing that you notice when you see a dog. Nice junk dog. He's not a junkyard dog. He's just a junk dog.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway. Music.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Do you have
music podcast.
Any news of any kind?
I think nothing happened, really, in the last week.
Well, you know,
so.
It's coming up on Saturday. Record Store Day.
Oh, record. Right? Yeah, there have been some releases, some, like, nutty things that I've seen.
I was reading a
Record Store Day.
Yeah, somebody wrote an essay today on Salon, I think, or one of those, and about Record Store Day and how it's just gotten completely out of control. You know, last year they had... You know, they'll have re-releases and special things by, you know, the Flaming Lips had that Hedy Fuenz thing a few years ago. And
yep.
was all these special vinyl things. They had 700 last year. And this year they pared it back and they have like 584 or something. But, you know, so these labels are expecting record stores to carry that shit? I mean,
that becomes a problem.
You get all this crap.
Yeah.
And then, sure, you're busy all that day, but the record stores cannot return vinyl to the distributors. They can send back CDs, but not vinyl. So,
well, that would,
they're just
that
stuck with all this garbage.
Puts them in a tough position, doesn't it?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just enjoy being able to go to the record store and being able to buy the turntable that my dad owned in like 1975 for like $500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you seen those turntables that are like a suitcase? You close it and you can just grab it with a handle.
I have one of those.
Do you?
I mean, like the Crosley type thing?
It's not. It's a cheap one that I bought at like Target. It's not high fidelity by any means.
But you can, you know.
But yeah, you just
gets down to.
It's got like little speakers on it, so you don't even need to hook it up. Mm-hmm. What is this dog doing?
He's trying to jump really on your lap.
Wants some of that beer.
He really wants my beer. Beat it, dog. Oh, look at him.
Look at those eyes, and all Chris can do is get mad.
Yeah.
If you guys could see how this, you know, you hear like puppy dog eyes. This dog is looking at him with puppy dog
eyes. He's trying to give Chris a hug.
I know. Yeah. He's disturbed by you talking about his wiener. He wants... are you crying? Oh, baby. Sweet puppy.
Yeah.
All right, keep talking. I'm just going to pet this dog.
All right, record store day. Yeah, it's out of hand. Well, so...
The retailers make a lot of money, but they... I mean, they seem to, like they would, but...
But then they...
You know, what do they stock? What do you stock?
Yeah, if they can't return stuff, they'd just be guessing. So, right? So they're going to have like two of something, and they might sell it
in the morning. Yeah, and like zero of a lot of things, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Hmm. Well.
But, so, I don't know. I love record stores and all that, but I went... did you and I go there? Or one of... I went with one
I
of you guys.
I went with you, yeah.
Last year?
Yep.
And it was just... terrible. Like, let's get out of
jam-packed,
here.
Jam-packed, yeah. I mean, the line all the way down the stairs
right.
And through the, you know, through the records to try to buy something. It's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's too much.
Who's a good
but then
boy?
You guys, didn't you guys go to a, like, a really small store
oh,
on the
yeah,
east side?
Oh, yeah. What's that place called?
I don't know. It's a little shed on the east side that's got all those records.
I forgot. We got to go back there again. Resale yeah. Records. Have you been there, Will?
I have not been there.
Yeah. Well, you maybe aren't into buying records right now, though, right? You don't have a record player.
Well, Grant has a record player, which was mine upstairs.
Yeah.
So
there
would be something to play records on, but I don't really want to buy any.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of takes the fun out of it. He would love it there, then.
Maybe he'd find something cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a dumpy old... dusty, grungy place.
It is your prototypical, like your stereotypical record store where there's a bunch of fat dudes sitting around with ponytails talking about like Canadian politics and
they
stuff.
They were talking
and
about was, that, right?
Yeah. Canadian I mean, politics. Just the most random stuff. Talking about the Brewers.
Yeah. Marquette basketball they talked about.
They've got really strong opinions about like literally everything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Standing around drinking beers.
Right. Why would they not?
Yeah. So, that's my kind of record store day. Go there. But other news, I don't know. Nobody.
Over the weekend.
Somebody died, but I can't remember who.
On Saturday, Jose Gonzalez is coming, and it's sold out at the Majestic, I believe. And it's.
You're kidding me.
Tickets on like StubHub are $60.
Wow.
That's like a
What's up with that?
That's like a $20 show to me.
I think sometimes it gets played on the local radio station that we don't listen to, you know, and then things get popular. And we
oh, it's probably
it.
A Triple M.
That's what I'm thinking.
Staple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Over the weekend, I watched a good bit of the Coachella live feed.
Was anything good? I kept reading, you know, oh, Coachella was great. And then every band that I saw, I was not interested in. It like, I think just the lineup wasn't my kind of thing.
Yeah. There wasn't really anybody on the lineup that... at least on the video feed portion that I was really all that interested. I watched, let's see, a little Father John Misty. That was, you know, just kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, like, French woman who I guess is attempting to be like the French Lady Gaga. Her name is Yelle, Y-E-L-L-E. Maybe it's Yelle, Yella. Hmm. Our French listeners can help us with that.
Mademoiselle Gaga. Right.
And she was wearing like this skin-tight leotard. She almost like looked like the Joker in Batman. And just like dancing and stuff. She had two drummers behind her. And sometimes the drummers would get off the drums, walk down, and then be her backup dancers for a song. And then go back up and then start drumming again. Hmm. And it was really weird. I listened to some of her music. And I didn't hate it initially, but...
They got that from...
Then you started to hate it?
Then I kind of started to hate it.
He got that idea from We Are Beatrice. Once in a while, Will puts down his bass and goes up.
And I dance. The backup dancer.
The little they have like a go-go cage. He'll go up in there.
Right.
But...
Let's see. Who else did I watch? That's about it. That's all I can remember.
Not very memorable.
It wasn't very memorable. Yeah. I watched some of Belle and Sebastian. I mean, that was okay.
You know, I watched like 3 minutes of Belle and Sebastian,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, I kind of thought, oh, I guess it's okay that I didn't go to that show. I don't know. They just didn't, they didn't have, there's something kind of dorky about Stuart Murdoch.
Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't great. I mean, he's gotten to the point where he's talking to the crowd like in the middle of songs and stuff, and it's just like, yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, they're really, really quiet.
Yeah.
And you saw him at the Congress in Chicago.
Yep.
And
one of the best shows I've seen.
And I saw him at either the Riverside or the Pabst, I can't remember, in Milwaukee. And that was great. The one a couple of weeks ago that coincided with the Badger Final Four game against Kentucky, his voice was totally shot. He sounded terrible. Probably should have canceled the concert.
Hmm.
But so... I don't know. I mean, I was unimpressed for that reason, but the band sounded really good, and I think the new repertoire mixed in with kind of the old, sadder songs just works pretty well.
Hmm.
It's less kind of a monochrome thing, and there's like some dancier stuff and, you know, and the kind of the bedroom pop kind of stuff, too.
I watched a little Perfume Genius, which I know a lot of people are into.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I don't... It maybe just didn't work, like, out in the middle of the desert in the afternoon type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the names were big. Jack White was there. I had other stuff to do. I didn't watch it. But, yeah. So, I don't know. Apparently, Summerfest, and they just released a lot of the Summerfest names, or all of them, is going to start the live streaming now. So, we can, like, watch Summerfest shows from home. So, that's the way of all music festivals now. You got to have the live feed.
I'm actually going to go to Summerfest this year.
What?
Yeah. Because Wilson wants to go see the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're playing there?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne Coyne won't let you down.
No.
He'll walk over you with that ball.
Wilson is such a crazy super fan. He knows all, like, I don't know the names of songs on many albums, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything from, like, what was the one from 99 with the race for the prize?
The soft bulletin yeah.
All the way up through like the terror, like running order, all the names of the songs. He knows all of it. It's crazy.
So you could just say, Wilson, what's the track list of the terror? And he would like name off the songs.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, to be a teenager again.
And the Rolling Stones are coming in there too.
They are.
I'm not going to go see that. But
no, that's like the night before it officially starts, right?
I don't know.
Is it at the... They can't play at the Marcus Amphitheater, can
yes.
they? Yes. It seems too small. Did it sell out in 5 minutes? Or has
I'm
not
assuming
been sold
so.
Yet?
7 minutes. 7 minutes it sold out.
Is that right?
That's right. It was reported in my newspaper. Read the paper, please.
Seven
For the love
minutes.
Of God, read the newspaper. I need money.
Okay, so how many people sit in there?
Marcus Amphitheater is like 5,000 seats, maybe? And then the lawn?
And the lawn. So maybe like 20,000 with the lawn?
Could be something like that, yeah.
How can you sell it in 7 minutes? How many? I
a
guess
lot
it's
of
all
servers.
Online.
Yeah, it's all online.
Yeah.
People
it's not like,
that.
Remember back in the old days, if you want to go to a Brewer game, you got to go to the Boston store because that's where the Ticketmaster office was.
Yeah, I remember going to like a mall store, like a Sears or something, to buy tickets for metal band or something like Rush or something.
Yeah.
You'd line up there, and then they would like start the line going at, you know, exactly 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and then that's when basically then you're hoping that your store gets in ahead of whatever the other stores.
Yeah, so then maybe you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go to the store in Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
Where nobody's right. gonna even be thinking about this.
Yeah.
But there must still be a way to do that, because when tickets go on sale, they'll say ticket sales begin Monday at 10 o'clock at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at Ticketmaster.com. So there are like stores you can go to still.
I wonder if you could do, like, for the Rolling Stones, could you do like with Wilco and bands like that, where they, like, if you're on the band's mailing list, then there's a pre-sale. So you like buy them the previous day. But then they would just sell out with those, right? Because you just go to therollingstones.com or something and sign up and then do the pre-sale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a little tip for the listeners. That's what you need to do.
They're saying this is the smallest venue they're playing by far, you know?
So, yeah, I would imagine they could still play stadiums.
So anybody, you know, somebody could be in Great Britain and be like, this is the smallest place I would ever have a chance to see them again in my life.
Now,
possibly, I don't know.
Aren't you on record of, like, you're just not really a fan, right, Barrett?
Yeah, I'm not.
And I'm not really a big fan either, so maybe I'm not the right person to comment on this, but don't you think that seeing the Rolling Stones, it would be more just a spectacle that I'm watching the Rolling Stones and these songs are all famous, rather than it actually being that great, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
I would like to go see it.
In like 94 or 95, I actually saw them for free when I was in college in Salt Lake City. They were playing the big, you know, the football stadium there that eventually became the stadium for the Winter Olympics. My buddies and I were just going to go sit outside the stadium and, you know, just listen to the concert from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman comes up to us, and she's got, like, after the show already started, Seal was the opener. It's like 94.
Seal.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And so Seal starts playing, and this woman walks up to us, and she sold these like glowing head things, like,
yeah,
that you wear on your head. And she said, well, I got 3 employee passes that I have that I couldn't give away, so she just handed them to us, and we walked
in.
So we didn't have seats, but we could just kind of walk around, pretend like we were selling these glowing head things. And I just watched the whole show for, like, standing in the aisle.
Did you make some money on the glow sticks too?
I did not. Did not, but I got to see the and that was, I mean, it's 21 years ago now, and they're still going.
I was just, like, in my head doing the math here. Like, they were younger then than, like, seeing U2 now.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see, how old?
Because U2 has been around for 35 years.
Huh.
Yeah.
So Bono's got to be, what, 55?
They would definitely...
Yeah, I don't know about...
They would definitely have been younger than U2 is now, for sure.
Yeah, because they would have been, you know, those guys are... All those old guys... Rockers are born in like 1942 or 44, all in that range.
Yeah.
So they were like, they were Will's age.
So
young
whippersnappers. Early 50s. Yeah.
So we could have worked this all out in pre-production.
Yeah, but we didn't. Well, this is what I want to ask. So when you saw the Rolling Stones back then,
yeah,
were you thinking, these guys are old?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I mean, back then the jokes were, God, how long are these guys going to keep going on?
Right.
Right.
And it was 21 years ago. Yeah. You can imagine what it is now.
Is that like the Steel Wheels tour?
it might have been.
Probably.
It is one of those weird things that, you know, it's a cliche, but just thinking that Keith Richards is still alive is kind of like, he's just, his body, how can it possibly survive what he's put it through?
Maybe it survives because of what he's put it through. Yeah. Maybe he's like,
yeah,
right,
he's preserved it in some,
it's
kind of way,
immune, maybe he's on or something, right?
Maybe he's on to something,
like,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
It's sort of like chemotherapy. Like, he would start to get a little cancer, but yeah, then he's just, you know, just knocks it out with the alcotherapy.
Yeah, it could be. That's, yeah, so yeah, that's a curiosity, but not gonna be seeing the Rolling Stones.
Speaking of Balanced Bastion, as we just were, my girl Courtney Barnett is coming to Milwaukee, and I got really excited about it. Courtney Barnett coming to Milwaukee because I really want to see her playing with Balanced Bastion, who was just here a week ago.
Oh, that's weird. And I mean, she's just opening for them.
They're co-headliners.
Oh, that's how big she's getting now, huh?
She's getting big, and
she's getting fast.
But what that means is I have to pay $45 to see Courtney Barnett now.
Yeah.
When I just shelled out like $90 to see Belle and Sebastian and couldn't even go.
Well, you did see the one song.
I saw three songs.
Oh, you saw three songs.
Did you watch the basketball game and then?
Yes.
Go? Yeah.
I figured, well, I could watch the Badger game and then rush over and at least catch half the concert. And so I run in there and I see Barrett. I'm like, what'd I miss? He's like, well,
most of it.
they're on the encore right now.
Yeah. It was a very un-rock and roll like prompt. Start. We're like 8 o'clock. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. Let's start playing now. You know, the opener.
Yeah. So yeah, I ate a lot of money on that.
Well, that's just kind of unfortunate because Courtney Barnett should be playing, like I think we mentioned before, like the High Noon, right?
Right. Exactly.
She should be doing a relatively small, or even maybe the Majestic, but like a small, medium to small size venue solo tour rather than a headliner tour, you know, big. Okay, well, let's talk about real music now. Okay, I mean,
music.
We've gone like 20 minutes or so and there's been no like musical sounds. I think the listeners are sick of hearing our voices.
I'll save my brewer talk till next week then.
Yeah, or it could be an interlude, a brewer interlude. So there's this guy named Sufjan Stevens.
Heard of him.
Chris likes him a lot. The rest of us might like him too, but Chris kind of, he's got dominion over Sufjan for podcast purposes. So we're going to turn it over to Chris. He's got a new album called Carrie and Lowell.
I learned not to get my hopes up too high for Sufjan Stevens albums, especially after the last one and like the last EP that he put out. Because I was such a big fan of his 2005 album Illinois, on which I had probably one or two on my best of the decade list when we did that. So I tried not to get my hopes up too much for this album, even though the early reviews were really good. And he's kind of like back in a way where he'll do like an electronic album and then go back to like an acoustic album and kind of jump around like that. And so when I heard this was basically an acoustic album, I tried to manage my expectations. But I really, really like it. Gotta say, I listened to it the first couple times. And I was like, well, this is, you know, kind of boring. But then as it, you know, you start to hear the lyrics and what it's about and, you know, start to get the melodies and stuff, it really hits home. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, they started crying as soon as they listened to this album because of the subject matter. It's about mostly about his mother who had mental problems and who just died recently, died in 2012, I believe, kind of him coping with that and her alcoholism and drug use and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not an album where it's going to cheer you up very much. But yeah, I mean, it's musically it's sound and, you know, the lyrics are something else. So we can go ahead and play a song if you'd like.
Let's do that.
Let's go with The Only Thing.
Surprises. I wonder, did you love me yet? keeps me from guarding my arm. Crawl a stash, warm bath, holiday inn after dark. Signs and wonders, water stain writing the wall. Daniel's message, blood of the turns to you somehow. Shall I tear my heart out now? Everything I feel returns to you somehow. I want to save you from your sorrow.
Sufjan Stevens.
You know, Chris has always been on record as saying he's not a lyrics guy, but the last two times I heard him describe music, with Courtney Barnett and now this, he's mentioned enjoying the lyrics. So
yeah,
is this something that's come about with what's going on here?
What?
Are you becoming smarter, or are you just paying more attention? Or
I think that is it.
Paying more attention. So there's a whole new layer of enjoyment that you can get out of even stuff that you listened to years ago, I bet.
Yeah, I've thought about that every now and then. Like, going back to my favorite albums that I don't even, like, know the words to, and just, like, really getting into them and like, you know, writing the lyrics down and, like, what are they trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and having a whole new perspective on an album that you've loved for a long time.
Like, did you guys get the... I sent you a link to something that I read about... R.E.M.'s Monster. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah. That was from Salon, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's going through each song. And this one is about... I'm reading it like, wow. First of all, I don't agree with anything he said. I don't like any of those songs.
Right.
But, you know, I've heard them enough. And it's like, I had no idea any of these are... They had any meaning. They're just... I just thought they were just lame, dumb songs. But, yeah.
So, yeah, it is interesting.
If you did like that album, which I don't, there's another one you could go back and... discover.
Maybe we can do that as a project. Take one of your favorite albums, write the lyrics down, and try to figure out what exactly they mean and how different it was from what you expected it to mean.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go back to a 70s album by Aerosmith?
Sure.
Be Steve Tyler.
This one is about toys in the attic.
Yeah, about,
toys in the attic is probably about drugs, right?
I was going to say this. The songs will be about the different drugs that Steve Tyler
or
took.
Toys. Toys are like drugs, and the attic is his head. Is that yeah. Like what it's about?
What was the Onion headline? Aerosmith fans beg band to go back on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet I did just figure that out.
That's probably right.
Stupid.
Yeah. Barrett's the English major. He figures nothing goes past him. You know, no lyrical references is safe.
Right? So we can go back and do that. That'd
I've
be
always
fun.
Been so confused by like the cryptic lyrics of the Vinnie Vincent Invasion song, Shoot You Full of Love.
Right, yeah.
It's like, what is he
that's
trying to say here?
Vinnie Vincent Invasion. That's
Shoot
great.
You full yeah. of love.
I'll talk to you off the air about that one.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a number of songs that... have that same kind of imagery.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Or any of the Prince songs we listened to on the way over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Barrett and I were listening to Prince on the way, and I sang for him.
Were you partying like it was 1999?
Well, we were partying more like it was 1984.
Correct.
Listening to Purple Rain.
See, and, thinking about...
That's why 1984 is my year, my best of music year.
That's a good one.
I have a sentimental attachment to Purple Rain. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was in Minneapolis at the time, and it was kind of just like...
Go on.
It's a mood thing, you know? And then I saw the movie.
Are you in the movie? Were you, like, doing the...
I used to go and...
He was Morris doing Day. The bird.
Morris Day and the Nights.
It's a little known fact.
Yeah. Most of the time, I was trying to remember.
He's in the
back.
What's
the guy that would hold the mirror? What's his name? I was going to try to throw that out off the top of my head, which would have been...
That would have been great.
But I... I thought I had it.
Nope. Will was the guy holding the mirror?
The guy... That guy obscured Will a lot.
How do you guys remember these details? I don't remember any of these
details.
Will's
back there doing the bird.
Yeah. I don't... I don't remember...
Hallelujah.
I don't remember any details like of any movie I've ever seen. And I can't... People will, like,
America.
Quote from movies. I don't remember any single quote from any movie
Have
I've
you
ever
heard?
Seen.
Huh. Yeah, really? Yeah.
I used to see bands in that venue, First Avenue in Minneapolis. And it's still very active. It's still a total rock and roll place. Still same building, and it's cool. Go there if you go to Minneapolis.
Have you purified yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
No, I haven't done that.
As Prince has done?
Has he done that?
Well, he made Apollonia. Yeah. He made Apollonia do it.
Oh.
What are we talking about? Sufjan Stevens?
Oh, yeah, Sufjan Stevens. Barrett, tell us about your impressions of Sufjan Stevens.
Well, I never really liked him very much.
And you still
don't? I liked him for a little while, and then I liked him less. That album, The Age of Ads, really turned me off.
No, I actually thought it was okay. I sort of liked it.
Yeah,
I wasn't like crazy over it, but I sort of liked it.
But this one reminds me that there was a time that I liked him a little bit. And, you know, if I'm going to listen to it, it's going to be this more stripped down, straightforward stuff. But, you know, as some people have pointed out, this album is really devoid of humor, which, you know, I should ask you. I'm because I haven't listened to it except for just like catching on to the sound of it. But
no, I mean,
that's been a criticism of it. It's or not a criticism, but an observation. And did you find anything funny about the way his
it's not a humorous album, but like
it's not like a Weird Al album.
I hope not.
But I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, but there's
nothing on here matches Eat It or
right.
there doesn't have to be humor in all music, right? I mean, there's a lot
of but that's what's been kind of like a little thing about him. Think about Bill Callahan. If you took all the humor out of Bill Callahan, it's like, it still sounds good, but that's kind of
an
element that people like.
So you're saying that, like...
I'm not saying he lost it. He just,
somebody like the Sun Kill Moon guy, right?
Right, Mark Pizzella. take all the humor out of that.
If they're going to do something really dark, they're usually going to try to put humorous...
Right, little black humor
things
and stuff.
In there. Yeah, that's true.
But, so this, he doesn't really do that,
I think
Sufjan
should have a better sense of humor, you're saying?
I think he chose not to be funny. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to pass it over to Chris.
I know. Will keeps right? talking. I'm ready. I'm sitting here. I'm ready to jump in. But you keep talking.
I'm bad. I'm a
no,
bad
I'm not, yeah,
mediator.
I'm just like, you're asking the questions to me, and I'm like uncomfortably trying to fill in. Like, wait a minute. I'm
yes.
Trying.
Stop talking.
Tag
I'd be
team.
I'd be happy to.
Here.
All right. There we okay. go. All right. Well, I mean, they're like... pieces of this album where he's talking about growing up and being a little kid and stuff, and he talks about like these childish wonderment type of things, and I think those are actually pretty, I mean, they're not haha jokey humorous, but like there's one song where he talks about the guy that taught him how to swim. He couldn't pronounce his first name, and so he called him Subaru.
It's humor.
So that's like a little that's a little childish reflection thing there.
Yeah.
That I think probably really happened. I'd like to think it did. He talks about masturbation at some point. So
that is not funny.
Not funny at all.
I'm sorry. Do we need to cut that from the self-service?
Those are like the seven words you can't say on podcasting.
Do we have to now put like that warning thing for iTunes? Are they going to ban us?
This has now become an explicit podcast.
Right.
Plus, I've got my pants off right now, so...
I was going to ask you about that.
Luckily, we're audio only because you would not want us to be video. Yeah. So, well, Barrett, are you going to make a pick or are you going to turn it over to somebody else?
I'm going to turn it over to you. It's your turn.
All right. It got turned right back to me. Okay. This, to me, sounds like a major talent. Like, it's a step above, like, your standard indie rock album. I think the guy's super talented.
Wow.
And one thing I really like about the album... is that on a lot of the songs, it'll be like just a good catchy folk song with the dark lyrics, you know, like a lot of the album is. And then it'll have like a atmospheric thing, which I think is like it colors it in. It just really adds to it. So I'll play a song that is an example of that and also has that reference Chris mentioned. It's called All of Me Wants All of You.
Shall we beat this or celebrate it? You're not the one to talk things through.
Weeks ago when we were talking about that song by Tobias Gesso Jr. that was like 2.5 minutes, the one with the guitar.
Mm.
And I said, well, he could have thrown a solo at the end, and you kind of laugh like, yeah, you're going to have like a heavy metal solo or something. But like that, from that last Sufjan Stevens song, that's what I had in mind. Like you could just, like a real simple, like atmospheric solo you can throw in there. Yeah, it just totally adds to the song, I think. So
yeah, he not only has atmospherics like that, intended atmospherics, but he recorded a big part of this in his Brooklyn apartment, and so you can hear, in some songs, you can hear like cars driving by, or you can hear, you know, a train on, you know, going by. So I mean, it just kind of has that homemade feel to it, which is really nice too.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's got, on the first song that you chose, there's like a kind of a hiss in the background, almost like a, just with a 4-track recorder, but
yeah,
maybe he did.
Oh, I have one more comment on the subject of humor. So I was thinking about this. Not that our listeners would listen to other podcasts, but I was listening to an interview of Slater Kinney by the Sound Opinions guys. Mm-hmm. And the drummer for Slater Kinney, Janet Weiss, mm-hmm. she mentioned that she did some work with Elliot Smith. And she said that he was really funny. Isn't that interesting? Like now, you don't that think of Elliot Smith of being like a goofball, funny guy, right? She said, oh, the guy was hilarious.
Watch this.
Yeah.
You're right. A guy who ends up stabbing himself in the heart.
You don't really think of him that way.
That
right?
is that, yeah. that is committing suicide like a man.
He was funny before that. At that time, that wasn't too funny, probably.
That is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
in
sure
hindsight, though, it's kind of funny. Isn't it? Funnier than like...
If there's a way to
jump on up a building,
suicide is funny, but I have a hard time with that. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean,
I don't know.
That's, some of them are funnier than others.
Some suicides are funnier.
They're all bad. But some methods would be funnier than other methods. God. You know? Running out in front of a car that your like parents are driving, that's not funny. Stabbing yourself in the heart at the time, it's not funny. Years later.
It's still pretty not funny.
I got to vote.
Pretty horrifying.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Because Barrett didn't make a pick, that means Chris gets to make another pick.
Yeah. And this will also demonstrate some of the atmospherics that we're talking about. And it almost, like that last song you picked and this song kind of almost make me remind me of like a Bon Iver album. And I know somebody that plays in Bon Iver or something like that actually guests on here. So maybe that's kind of where he got it. But I'm going to pick 4th of July, which, you know, the album is mostly about his mother and her fight with drugs and her psychotic episodes and things like that. And I think this song is pretty much about her, kind of the pet names that she gave him before they became estranged. And then it finishes up by saying that we're all going to die. So it's not...
So there is one funny song.
It's not, it's not a crowd pleaser. People aren't going to be holding their lighters up to this song. But yeah, let's go with 4th of July.
Yep. This has my approval. Yeah, that one seemed kind of serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Very rarely am I in a mood where I'm like, I'm in such a good mood, I really need an album to bring me down.
Yeah.
But this one certainly does. Yeah.
Well, you don't think of
just
it that
in
way.
Just time for summer.
Yeah.
This summer jam.
This is one of those ones where you roll the windows down, crank it up.
That's right.
And depress everyone you drive by. Everybody just like slinks over, slumps over.
Well, maybe we should talk about an album where you could put the windows down then, you think?
I think we should, Will.
Let's transition to a happier album. Barrett, what do you think?
Well.
Yes, Barrett.
I didn't think you were going to throw it right to me.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Go Team.
Yeah, we are.
And
you're the resident Go Team
album.
Expert.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I'm an expert on their first album because we listened to that as a family driving all the way out to New York and back.
Did you have the windows open?
Sometimes, I think, because it was warm.
And because you were shooting at people.
And because we were shooting at people.
Presumably.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? And, but, you know, I knew that one really well. I think there were two between that and this that I didn't get to know as well.
At least two, yeah.
Yeah, and the new one came out about a week or two ago, and the name is, it's called The Scene Between. And, you know, if you like the old stuff, this one is kind of in the same vein. And one song that really jumped out at me was called Blowtorch.
That's the Go Team.
So I don't know if you've felt the same way, Chris. I know that Chris has been in the past. I've always thought of Chris as more of a Go Team guy than Will. So I guess we'll learn that as Will starts to talk about it. But to me, this sounds less, I mean, their first album felt to me more sample heavy. And, you know, the magic in it was that they made it sound like a band. You know, there's definitely some like live drumming and singing and stuff like that. This sounds more like a band that uses less sampling than they did in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or maybe the samples are just, you know, if they sampled a song that I knew, then maybe I'd feel differently, but it just felt that way.
Yeah, it feels more organic, less kind of stitched together.
Yeah.
I think.
But it still has that sound that I don't even know how you describe it.
It's like really washed out drums. With yeah. like that are almost cranked up too high, where the levels are too high, and so it's the sound that you know it when you hear it,
right? Yeah, I think it's pretty much a solo project now. The guy's name is Ian Parton, and he, I think, basically just recorded the whole thing and then found singers to sing on it.
Yeah, I was always curious. I mean, I'd been a big fan of theirs for a number of years, and I was always curious, like, what it would be like in concert. Like, how much is live instrumentation versus sampling versus... And then I think I saw him at, like, at a Lollapalooza, or I saw him at some... And it wasn't really all that impressive.
Hmm.
It wasn't very good.
Well, hopefully they don't have, like, four people standing behind laptops. That'd be bad, right? Yeah. Well, maybe with the more organic sound, maybe they'll do a more, like... real live show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the songs are pretty catchy. Like, there's a lot of good tunes.
Like a Breeders song, you know?
Yeah.
That one in particular, not in general, but
yeah, this album actually, you know, I've listened to it a few times, and what it did was it made me realize how much I liked the last one. So as I often do when a new album comes out, it reminds me, oh, I really do like the Go Team. And so I went back and I've been listening to their last one, Rolling Blackouts, like over and over and over again.
So you like that one better, huh?
Yeah, I do like that one better, especially the song Buy Nothing Day with our girl Bethany Cosentino from Best Coast.
I think we played that on the podcast. I think we played that very track on the podcast.
I think we probably did.
Yep.
So, yeah, but I like this one enough. Let me pick a song. I'll go with the second song on the album, which is called The Scene Between.
That's the title track.
Sure.
And the title track has to be good, right?
They picked it.
The windows open playing that, right?
Yeah,
you wouldn't be embarrassed.
It seems they're one of those bands where, like, if you were having a party, you could just put the album on and let it run.
Yeah,
I think you'd have a pretty good party.
Yeah,
it always goes well in the coffee shop. People are always kind of, you know,
be better for a party than Sufjan Stevens would be. He might be a little like,
yeah,
I think we're gonna leave now,
right? Everybody gas each other.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
I'll make a pick. I'm gonna totally cheat, but I think it's worth it on this album to play the first track because it's super catchy. It's called What Do You Say? It's a catchy one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Would you consider that to be challenging without being confrontational?
I don't think it's even challenging, but that's okay, though. It's
very confrontational.
It's a little. It's more confrontational than it is challenging, which is interesting, because yeah. You don't see that combination that often.
Yeah, I find it just completely, it's like experimental, atonal, you know, there's no rhythm that's discernible.
you can't comprehend it.
No.
Right.
I don't know. Can you call that music if it's like that?
Yeah.
It's just like.
It reminds me a lot of
random noises.
Like Einstein's Nürburgring or whatever they are, which is basically guys like banging on shopping carts with spoons.
With Blixa Bargeld. I actually know them. He's the guitarist in The Bad Seeds.
Oh.
Yep.
That's a good reference. That's a good. You got a cred if you can make that reference.
He's the one that brought it up.
Yeah.
I was trying to listen to. You can't even tell what the instruments are that they're playing, right? I mean, they got those booming drums and they have. You can tell they're like keyboard.
And the goatee?
Little things going on with the keyboard. And you're like, I'm trying to think, like, it's hard to figure out the component parts because it creates such a kind of a wall of party sound.
Yeah, if you were going to try to recreate that, you know, again, getting back to We Are Beatrice, with that lineup, I'm not sure you have the instrumentation.
No, right? Yeah, if they said, like, play a cover of that, you learn the notes, but it would sound nothing like it.
Right.
Yeah.
I do. I just love the drum sound, though. It's the... I can't describe it. It's like the echo on it. It just sounds like such a huge sound.
It sounds like he's hitting the drums, like, so hard. Like, it would be really fun to be their drummer. Yeah. Right? That's what it sounds like.
Yep.
Maybe the guy was totally, like, businesslike when he was hitting the drums, you know. But the recording made it sound like he was having fun. Maybe he just looked really serious.
It's just an effect.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Wow.
That's pretty good, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Went pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Two solid releases that can be enjoyed on very different levels, right? That's what we do here.
That's right.
What you should do is you should put together a playlist where you intersperse the songs, like go back and forth between the two albums.
That would be something.
And just watch your emotions just like careen back and forth between your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Or we could have like give it to two runners, right? They're both about the same. And then one of them will listen to the Supion Stevens and the other will listen to the Go Team.
And see who...
See if it has any effect on you physically.
Which one is better weightlifting music, Barrett?
Supion Stevens, for sure.
Because it
challenges... Like, as soon as I'm done weightlifting, I can turn this off.
Well,
because you're thinking about your own mortality.
Yeah.
Challenges your...
Exactly.
The Go Team would be like for the powerlifting, you know, the fast powerlifting. And the Sufjan album would be like if you're going to lift 10 pounds for like an hour, right? Just really slowly.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're like a hipster, then you're lifting weights ironically.
Totally.
Right.
10 pounders.
Yeah. I'm just here. But I'm just here lifting weights as a joke.
Even though when you're doing anything like anywhere you are and you have headphones in, nobody else can hear it, you still, like, I would feel weird weightlifting with the Go Team on. You know? It's like if some dude comes up like, hey, what are you listening to? I'd like to be able to say, like, Thin Lizzy, why? Got a little jailbreak going on. Instead of the Go Team, why? Have you heard them? Or
Camera Obscura.
I'm listening to Camera Obscura as I work through my body issues.
Yeah.
So you got to play tough music when you're there.
Right.
That's just so true. You can don't feel so self-conscious.
Twee and weightlifting do not go together.
No.
They just don't. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's it. Any parting comments? Any late breaking music news? Anybody die during the recording of this podcast?
Right before I came over here, I saw a video of like three Mexican sisters. They're like 9, 10, and 12 or something playing Metallica's Enter Sandman. And it's really amazing.
It sounds terrible, but I'll
go on YouTube and find that video. Not right now. You, the listener, go find it. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool.
I started watching a movie but I only watched the first 15 or 20 minutes. It's called We Are the Best, and it's about Swedish teenage girls who form a punk band. They're like really young, like 13, and they don't know how to play anything. So I've gotten to the point where they start banging on the instruments and they don't know, they absolutely do not know what to do. And then they say, hey, that was really fun. So that's the point I'm at.
That was
right
one
now.
Of your album picks a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? Wasn't there some, you know, I'm not joking. Wasn't there like some teenage girl band from Sweden that? Oh, come on.
There was the teenage girl band from Spain.
Oh, okay. That maybe that was it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a big hit now.
But starts with an S and ends with an N, just like Sweden.
Exactly. But they know how to play their instruments, so that's different.
You know how, like, you'd hear about bands like, whatever, when this band started, this guy didn't even know how to play his guitar. And then 3 weeks later, they were, you know, it's like, come on. I just never buy that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I guess in this case, they don't know how to play their instruments.
So I'm really interested to see where it's going to lead. Like, mm-hmm. by the end, will they sort of be able to play them? I don't know. But there was a funny scene where they kick this metal band out of the practice space. This metal band is playing, and there's like this dry erase board or, you know, whatever, or just a big sign-up sheet to sign up for time to play in the studio. And they discover that these guys forgot to actually sign up. So they tell the guy in charge, okay, well, we're going to sign up. And then because they've signed up and the metal band forgot to sign up, they kick the guys out.
Metal band's going to write a song about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The metal band was not pleased. So there's probably going to be a, you know, a scene later in the movie where they make a
How long
the
is this movie
band.
That you couldn't sit and watch?
Is it gonna be like, yeah. It's going to be like a West Side Story scene with the 13-year-old yeah. girls and then the
So this could be
35-year-old
like, people could watch this. Could be like the book club thing, right? The listeners can watch this. Maybe I'll hopefully can finish it in the next week.
Mm-hmm. We Are the Best?
That's what it's called. We Are the Best with an exclamation point.
Gotta get
And
that.
It's on Netflix. Yeah. Okay, that's it. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.